And welcome to the latest episode of Gaming Disassembled. I am your host, Naya Novoa, and on this wonderful Monday morning, we have back from her birthday sabbatical, J.Dot Sloan. How are you?
I am fortunately largely recovered from that birthday sabbatical. We went to this restaurant that's a Brazilian churrascaria, which if you're fancy. Not familiar with, I know, right? And expensive. We refer to it as all you can meat. But it's basically a Brazilian grill where they perpetually bring you skewers of grilled meat to the table until you beg them to stop. Mm. And it was delicious if you're a meat eater. But it took a couple days to recover from that. Like, I don't even want to. It's a week later. I don't want to look at meat yet. Oh, man. But it was a good birthday. So did you have a happy Valentine's Day with Anissa? I talked to her last night about her foray onto the podcast. And
I know.
She's like, I'm never doing that again. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure you were great. And she's like, no.
I know.
I'm like, it's okay. It takes a special kind of person, i.e. a narcissist, to really enjoy doing this. So I will take it as a compliment to your personality that you're done forever, apparently.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, actually, to have her on the show. And we implemented our, Sunday nights, of course, is normally when we record the show. And Sunday night is also Walking Dead. And that's just an event in our house, so it's kind of like, if the show is going to be recorded on a Sunday night, and The Walking Dead is on, then there's a very big likelihood that it's going to somehow find its way into the show. What's funny is that I kind of manipulated the topics so that we could talk about it, so I found a gaming-related Walking Dead story just so we could talk about the episode that we had just watched. So nice. it was kind of awesome. But no, it was, by the way, that was really good last night.
Was it?
Yes, it was. But no, it was a fun show. It was a fun Valentine's Day episode. It was actually, it just turned out there was a lot of stuff that week, to talk about that, that cool. Me and her could kind of riff on. So it was fun. Hope everybody enjoyed that. I know she's like, are there comments? Are there any comments on the show? What did they say? Did they say I was horrible? I was like, would you chill? Would you relax?
Mom listens to this show and like my third cousin. I wouldn't worry about that. They love you. They think you're great.
Very true. Very true. Well, we have a lot to get to, so let's go ahead and dive in. The main story that has just kind of taken over gaming blogs and just kind of gaming news in general is the horrible mess that Aliens Colonial Marines, which was very much looked forward to and heavily hyped upon its, I guess a week before its release. And then all of a sudden, it seemed when people actually got there, like the embargoes were lifted. And even the day before I was here, all of a sudden, like it's amazing how quickly it turned around, because I heard nothing but good things about this game and previews and all these things. People were so excited for it. And then like halfway through the day before the embargoes lifted, which was the day of release, which is kind of odd in itself, because normally they only do that when you're worried about response. Most times they let embargoes go up about a week or two before or whatever. It was just this like onslaught of horrible, horrible reviews, bad feedback. And then of course, okay, I do have a rant, but I'll save that for a little bit after we talk about this, because I actually do have a rant here to go on, because this irritated me. However, so the basic thing is that Aliens Colonial Marines, which was developed by Gearbox, who also makes the excellent Borderlands series, and Duke Nukem Forever, so here and there. They made both.
I was going to say, so I'm reading these articles that you sent me, because I honestly hadn't even heard of this until you threw these articles at me, and I was like, what? And that's because I don't pay much attention to hype about games before they actually come out. I've been burned by that before. I was burned by that with Duke Nukem Forever, so,
So you're well acquainted with this.
Or yes. with Final Fantasy, and even when the reviews started coming back with Duke Nukem and Final Fantasy, I wanted the games to be good so much that I kind of ignored the bad reviews anyway. So I've learned to wait till a game actually comes out and then see what people say. So I didn't catch any of this. They basically put up a demo video that was like a perfectly coiffed game, and then what we actually got was was basically an alien version of Duke Nukem. Is that what I'm understanding?
Pretty much. And I guess the biggest, if that were the case in itself, right, there's always been, there's been target videos before, there's been renders, you know, that are used, and people kind of take, you know, I mean, Madden released a target video at the beginning of this current generation that they still haven't gotten to, right? And the Madden games now six years in, still don't look like that. So, I mean, it's understand, like, people do that all the time. So that's, everyone kind of takes those with a grain of salt. The problem is that, like, at shows, at numerous conventions, at numerous demos, these videos were showed and these trailers were released, and this was told that it was actually real gameplay. They made such a point to highlight this as actual product that you were getting, and they didn't show anything else. And I guess people feel lied to, but on top of that, people are also, the biggest thing I see around here, and one of the articles I actually read was a thing of, who the hell made this game? That's the other big question mark that's here, because what's great is there's a article on Velocity Gamer, that, and the image that they use for the post is very indicative of this, okay? It actually, the credits, like at the beginning of the game, say, or at the end of the game, I'm not quite sure which one, but they say, a TimeGate Studios, Demure Studios, Nerve Software, and Gearbox Software game. That's four studios.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
That they list. And
well, the question, we don't want to know who made this game. We want to know who fucked it up. Like,
thank
where
you.
In this list is the person that we're like, no, we're done with you. You're a big jerk.
Supposedly, that is responsible. Now, here's the thing. What's great about this article is that they actually link to a there was a post on Reddit. It was a temporary account that was made, and it's very fascinating. It was actually supposedly one of the people who worked at Gearbox for a long chunk of the development of this title, which I do find funny that it was called. Here's the thing: you can't tell what people's inflections say. So, like, this very well might have been called, you know, pecan, but I'm gonna say it's pecan,
right?
Because I think that's how it's pronounced, but it could be that, and I'm just totally butchering it, but whatever. So it was kind of referred
to. You're from Nashville. They say pecan.
Pecan here, and then it's pecan in other places. Also, yeah. Pecan. It could be pecan. And now I just want to call it pecan.
No,
fun.
You're just making words up.
So
whenever we have an argument about words, we usually go, we can say it both ways. So.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So it's interesting because he evidently worked there during the majority of the development cycle, and it was troubled from the get-go. And what it seems like is that, if you're to believe this, of course it's, you know, anonymous, but from all the other rumors and the other leaks, you know, it seems that Gearbox very much put Borderlands 2 as priority, which is not, like, totally out of the realm of possibility, because Borderlands 1 was a surprise hit, did really well. Borderlands 2 had a lot running, you know, for it, and so they kind of put the onus on that, and then let the Aliens game that they had agreed to make forever ago, it seems, and I didn't realize that this had been in development that long. I didn't realize that this game had been in development almost, it seems, like 6 years.
Good grief.
And constantly through cycles, and what it says is basically that every time they would, like, put this game, they would get another extension, they put this game on the back burner, and then they would go do their Duke Nukem. They did their Borderlands at the beginning, and then they did the Borderlands 2. So every time they kept putting this game on the back burner, they'd come back to it after they finished whatever other project, and then they would, like, have to give it a huge underhaul. And so they kept, like, it's almost like Duke Nukem Forever in the fact that it's this hodgepodge of game styles and systems that were a great idea at the beginning. Then, you know, they go and do some other project for a year, come back and go, oh, well, this needs to be redone, and this needs to be redone, or whatever. So at some point in here, it seems they gave the project to TimeGate Studios. Now, TimeGate Studios didn't have a sterling game resume.
Who,
you know,
do I even know a game that they've made?
I mean, they've done, I believe they did Inversion.
No.
So that's no. They've done, like, three games. I'll post a thing of their, like, their credits, and I'm not calling out anybody. I'm just saying that they don't have, like, the longest list of, you know, blockbuster titles, and they haven't done, you know, very many games that were received that well. So to get handed this is a big deal for them, right? So I was like, okay. So it seems that they handed them the single player. Gearbox agreed to make the multiplayer. They would focus on that. And then these other studios were supposedly like making DLC and then other little random projects to go with it.
This really is starting to sound like a case of like too many chefs in the kitchen kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. And evidently, though, like, you know, Randy Pitchford, the the big boss over there at Gearbox, was very adamant that this was like, you know, a love letter to the Aliens movies. Huge fan of the franchise. They were working with people from the movies to get, you know, and they always say that kind of stuff. But
it
seemed genuine here, you know. And so evidently some of that was already done when it was handed to TimeGate. And people are kind of pointing the finger at TimeGate because all of a sudden they were handed what was done, what was started. And then they kind of went in and did a lot of new stuff, and they kind of redid stuff. And then when they came back, when Gearbox was done with Borderlands 2 and got that out the door, they came back to, and were like, hey, TimeGate, what do you got for us? And then they weren't very pleased, evidently, with the product.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're like, TimeGate, what you got for us? We're done doing our big title, and TimeGate's like, here, have a turd burger.
Kind of. Like, and so then they're going in and doing, you know, their QA department, evidently, is like, okay, only fix things that break the game. Don't fix anything else.
How do we fix this turd burger?
Yeah, fix it. And fix
some
it in
sage on it or something.
Exactly. And fix it.
Shine it up real good.
In 3 months. Fix it in 5 months. It's where that you don't have hardly any time. And they had to get this out. And the reason they couldn't be, and here's the thing, right? This game needed more time in the oven, obviously. Yeah.
Even though it had 6 years.
Yeah, even though it had 6 years, right? It needed some TLC. And the problem was that Gearbox had supposedly asked for so many extensions that Sega was to the point of suing. So, like, Sega was contemplating legal action against them for, like, where the hell is our product that we paid for so long ago? So they couldn't ask for any more extensions. Like, they had to just push this game out and hope they got certified. And then once it got certified, push it out.
Yeah.
And they didn't, if they asked for one more thing, they were just going to get totally, you know, ripped to shreds. So they put this turd out.
They actually like to not produce a turd burger. And they're like, too bad! Turd burger
pretty much
is what you get.
this is a turd burger with a bunch of ketchup on it. Is the hope that it masks the taste. I mean, at that point, that's what it was. There's one that's great. It's called the Herpy Derpy Alien.
Oh, my.
The Herpy Derpy Alien. This alien is just walking around. You're standing right there. And this alien walks right past you, walks down the hall, and he's kind of moving like he's dancing. Because that's how fucked up the code is, right? There's all these problems. There's like if they go through the opening area. You know, when you think stuff would at least be semi-stable because they're standing.
Can we put the Herpy Derpy Alien as our teaser image?
Yeah, I kind of want to now. I need to find that so I can copy that and put that in there. Because it's hilarious. I mean, he walks right by him. And he's just kind of herper derp. I mean, he looks like the Swedish chef just kind of walking around this poor alien. There's a great video where the character's moving around. And every NPC that's in the area, he just walks like right through them.
Oh.
There's no collision detection, like, at all. He's just standing in the middle of the sky. And it's just, at this point in time, that's just unexcusable. Especially for a studio that just pumped out, you know, one of the higher critically
right, quality,
reviewed
yeah. I mean,
games.
I love Borderlands 2. So, yeah, no, it basically sounds like a clusterfuck. Are they going to do anything about it? Or is it basically just like, well, we'll just kind of move on and wait till this blows over?
I mean, at this point, what do you do, right? I mean, at this point, Gearbox had built such a nice reputation for themselves. Like, but it's funny, if you look at it, right? Nuke Nukem Forever was lauded as being a shitty game. I mean,
it was not great.
It wasn't great, right? But they got away with it because, if you think about it, Duke Nukem had all this baggage coming in, right?
Yeah.
They kind of finally put out this hodgepodge turd over the past, like, however many years. So they weren't blamed for a lot of it because, of course, this thing was on, like, you know, that game was on, like, three different systems at one point. And I mean, it was, they saved it from just limbo and, you know.
Right, basically, yeah. I mean, they were just producing a thing and I kind of had the same feeling about it. Like, I was never mad that Duke Nukem sucked. Part of me just went, well, what did you expect? It's not like if you played the original Duke Nukem right now, you'd be so excited to play this game. You would also be like, man, this is not actually a fun game anymore.
Yeah, that's terrible.
They were driven on pure nostalgia, and they made their money on pure nostalgia, and that's okay. I mean, I'm not, like, going to hold that against them. I was one of the fans who bought it on pure nostalgia and have it, and I'm like, I actually really wish it's one of those things where, like, I could, like, erase it from my Steam library and from my receipts and just kind of, like, data scrub it to make it look like I never bought the game, but...
Yeah, I understand
I'm not mad, I'm more just embarrassed, you know?
Yeah, but they got away with that because of that nostalgia. They saved this project. It had been out there forever. They finally put it out. And now they can, you know, they want to move on and make something, you know, make a new Duke Nukem game that is not, you know, it's going to be based on new tech and stuff, right? They want to give it a new life, but they felt like they, it even said that in press releases and stuff. So that one's kind of an aside. This is just, seems honestly just mismanaged. And what's funny about this is that over the last, like, 2 years, we've heard a lot more of behind the scenes how the sausage is made on development teams in the game industry because of studios closing, studios getting bought out, all these layoffs and stuff. And so more people are talking about, you know, what kind of goes on here, especially with, like, Silicon Knights and all that stuff. You heard a lot of the same things, you know, and it's hard to be an independent developer. You know, or one of these, you know, smaller development teams who they have multiple projects going at once and you're trying to attribute resources, you know, so you're using funds from another project to build, to finish your other project that you started 2 years ago, you know, and they're trying, it's always this balance. And at some point, you know, if you don't manage it right, you're just going to completely screw over one project.
Here's what I think happened, okay? They had this game they wanted to do. They wanted to do an homage to Aliens, but they didn't have the time or the resources to actually do the game because they were working on these other big, actually profitable projects. So they gave it, actually, to their cousin Lenny in his garage. And cousin Lenny loved this game. He worked very hard on this. And cousin Lenny was all by himself. And for a guy in a garage in, let's say, the middle of Hilliard, Ohio, it's a good, terrible place to be. You know, we really should give the game credit for what it is. Lenny's masterpiece.
It is. And then they came to Lenny and went, Lenny, why is this so buggy and shitty? And he's like, I'm in my garage.
Yeah.
And I have no funds for you. You guys didn't pay me. Like,
he's
I'm
like,
just doing this.
What the fuck do you mean is so buggy and shitty? Why aren't you asking me how I got so much done in a fucking garage? This is bitchin'. So.
And then Lenny went back to what he does on his daytime job, and he pierces people's ears in his garage for $5 a pop.
So thank you, Lenny, for making this game. I appreciate your hard work.
I almost rented it from Redbox.
Oh, did you just to
over the weekend just to see? Because I just wanted to see how bad it was. Like I kind of there's a morbid curiosity. I mean, it's kind of the same curiosity with Duke Nukem. I almost rented it just so I could kind of see. You know, I played the demo, but I was just kind of like I kind of wanted to see how bad it was. But okay, so that's kind of the just huge shit pile that Gearbox has.
But you know what else? I'm gonna tell you something. You know what else is beautiful about Lenny? He games. He gets online and he gets in that chat and he is nice to women when he games. Unlike apparently the
most other people.
The study that we that came out this week or last week, by graduate student Wai-Yin Tang, who discussed a study entitled "Communication in Multiplayer Gaming: Examining Player Responses to Gender Cues," which is academic as fuck. I wanted to read the article, but it's one of those academic papers that is behind a paywall, and I was like, "Pay money for articles, man," which is a whole other issue that's not really themed to this podcast. But yeah, so I have some librarian friends who probably could help me acquire it for less, but you know that'll be a later thing because it is an academic study, which means it's going to be super dense and rife with academic language. But fortunately, we have the internet and people will read studies for us and then tell us what was in them, and that never ever gets skewed in a weird direction.
No,
but in this case, we're talking about the difference between how women get talked to when they are gaming online. And I think the specific game they used was Halo 3, right? A very decent game. The thing that I like about this is, you know, you and I, Matt, we talk about, you know, we have a lot of anecdotal evidence about how women get talked to in when they use voice chat in gaming. And a lot of the articles that we've referred to have also been largely anecdotal, which is not to say that they don't have power or presence, but that, you know, without data to back it up, it's a little harder to make your point. If you're arguing with a rational person, that is. So the nice thing about this is they actually basically it was a study they did on with the rates and instances of slurs and trash talk and the quality of that trash talk. And rather than do a lab environment where you played 20 minutes of Call of Duty in a research lab, they actually just basically invented two people with no personality whatsoever. They basically had really standard, like, hi, let's do this, okay, let's go, you know, nice to meet you kind of things that they would say. And they were exactly, they wasn't two people, they were computer-modulated voices, and they just tweaked one to sound female and the other to sound male. So it's the same dialogue, same inflection, same everything, one of them is just pitched to sound female. So the first thing was that the findings indicate that, on average, the female voice received three times as many negative comments as the male voice, or no voice. In addition, the female voice received more queries and more messages from other gamers than the male voice, or no voice. So this supports the anecdotes that we've discussed before. This supports that the website that you linked a couple weeks back with the chick who records the actual voice chats that she gets.
Yeah, not in the kitchen anymore.
So that wasn't a huge surprise, but another thing that was noted in the study was whether or not the negative feedback correlated to a player's skill level. So, like, if you suck, you know, do you get a lot more trash talk of people, like, basically reaming you for being shitty at the game? And the study found that there was no correlation. So the thing that I took away from this, that particular bit, is that it's not that people are, you know, trying to encourage you to be a better gamer through the negative flagellation of your character, but that basically that it is a sort of environment that basically attracts assholes because of a lack of consequence and because, you know, of that anonymity, which allows them to be as much an asshole as they want to be without any kind of consequence. And that asshole will apply his assholeness more or less equally across the board unless you're a woman, and then he triples his assholeness at you.
It's nice to have some actual facts in the real world. I like what they did. I do like that they actually went to a regular environment, because to me, a lot of times those lab ones that they do and come out with, and they just don't mean anything to me because it's just, it's not real. Here, it's especially, it's always Xbox Live. Xbox Live is just, there's just this subset of Xbox Live that's just awful. It's just awful people. Like, they just don't, they don't function in real society. I don't know what they do, what their problem is, but they just, you know, there's something out of, like, Demolition Man. Like, the society that's in Demolition Man is a society that is in Xbox
Live.
Oh,
no, I watched Judge Dredd last night, the 1995 one. Which is basically the same movie as Demolition Man.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but the same thing. Like,
it pretty much is. Rob Schneider makes everything better, though, so it gets that half point up. But, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous, okay? And I love that they actually showed the subset of skill makes the most difference in this article. Because, yeah, you read the, and I'll even admit, okay, I read the headline of this article and went, yeah, duh. Okay, that is this news? Like, what is this? But if you, I love the skill part because it actually does show that it doesn't matter if the woman gamer is sucking or if she's got, as you know, she's on top of the leaderboards. It does not matter. The moment that you hear that voice, and that voice is, you know, people are able to discern that it's not a 5-year-old boy. And that it's like that automatically just triggers some of these people, and they're just mean, right? I mean, it just comes out, and I don't understand where it's
for no reason.
You know, I love the one where it was like, "Hi," And then it's like, you're a blah, blah, blah. I'm like, who
Oh
does
yeah,
that?
no. That's all she said. Well, it was there, when the female condition, which was their term for the female voice they were using, all she said was, "Hi, everybody," and the other gamer responded with, "Shut up, you whore."
I know.
Followed a few seconds later with something even I'm not gonna say.
I don't understand where it comes from. I don't understand how your trigger just hits and it's like, oh, woman, mean, and you just turn into a Hulk. And I just don't get it. Like, I just.
Women evil shoot into space.
Vaginas are bad. You know what I mean? I just don't understand that. It's just
No.
stupid to me.
So that was actually, so I again, I mean, mostly I brought it up because it was a totally, I mean, you're right, it was like a well, duh kind of conclusion, but it was just again, when you know, we do the same thing when we talk about statistics with regards to sexual assault. You know, you can provide someone with all the anecdotes in the world. You know, I can give you my personal story, or you know, we can, you know, say that or another woman could give the person their personal story or whatever. But then you can trot out actual statistics like one in four, between 1 in 3 and 1 in 4 women have been sexually assaulted, and put that data behind it. And you know, here and now I'm able to say that, you know, if you're a woman online, you have 3 times the likelihood to be maligned simply because your voice is higher pitched than the other person's. You know, that is your contribution to the game, is you spoke up and had a woman voice, and then that's it. It's over for you. So, you know, there, in terms of how we can actually use this data to improve the game space, I don't know, but in terms of being armed with information to try to explain to people why, for example, I will never ever be on voice chat, because as much as I like to think that I'm a tough human being who can survive anything and have a really thick skin, I don't have to be exposed to that. That's the nice thing about the internet. I can go, no, and turn it off. And I'm not going to willingly expose myself to vitriol and toxic speech if I don't have to.
Well, yeah. Makes sense. I mean, why would you?
So that is my right, and that's pretty much where I'm going for there.
Well, okay. So let's go with some lighter fare.
Well, no. Speaking of things that are not toxic and actually make me infinitely happy.
Yay! See? That's so nice. That's happy. We like to present you a happiness on the middle of the week when we come
Oh,
out.
I am fucking giddy about this next thing. Okay, so basically, apparently, there's a new Batman game coming later this year, which was total surprise, because normally I mean, I hear hype about the games that I love for like years in advance, and I'm sitting there going, 2014,
Exactly.
okay, I guess I'll wait, you know? So when
BioShock
they're like,
Infinite.
next Batman Arkham game coming later this year, I was like, that's really soon. I am so excited. I don't even know what it's titled. I haven't seen any teasers for it. I don't know nothing about it. It might be like Batman Universe, and they might have just put a Batman skin on a Mario game, but I'm excited.
Well, there's not actually a ton known. In fact, no one thought. People knew, of course, there was going to be a new game in the series. That wasn't a shocker. What was
Yeah.
crazy was that it was coming out probably towards the end of this year. And then also, no one really knows anything. There's been a bunch of rumors as to maybe it's going to be a prequel, which will be, the 1950s,
I would
like
love it. I
type
would eat it up.
Silver Age. And then there was also rumors of some other stuff. So, I mean, it's just kind of, no one knows anything. But if we were just talking about conjecture here, I have a couple of wants. Here, let me pull out my list here. I have a couple of things I want to see here. All right, here. I have to unfold this. I wrote it on a napkin. Okay, so more. I know in like every article I write about Arkham City, somewhere in there is my pitch for Huntress, because I want a Huntress. It's in there. If you
Like,
go
you don't have
back.
actual reasons or context. You're just like, no,
No. No, I
Knight of
don't.
Oa want.
I want a Huntress, and it's in, I swear, if you go and read like every article, even back to like Sweet and Sour Days, I always had Huntress in there, because I was just like, if I like subliminally, if I just keep saying it, they'll do it at some point. It'll happen. So I want my playable Huntress. It was funny, I just popped in Arkham City last night. And I was playing some of the challenger maps and stuff. I was like, oh my God. To be so boss with a Huntress and a crossbow. Anyway,
And you know what the terrible thing I'm excited for is, I'm like, oh, sweet, a total reason to rebuy both of the Arkham games out off of Steam, because right now I have the Xbox versions, and I've seen people play on the PC versions, and I'm actually kind of jealous, because a lot of the things that I had a problem with, and I totally attribute this to, like, a user problem, it wasn't the game, but, like, trying to remember what all my special doodads were assigned to and hit the button at the right time for it. And with the keyboard, obviously, you can actually assign all of your special moves to a separate key. Ooh. So, yeah, I mean, I've been trying to, like, find a reason to rebuy those, which is terrible. I'm like, I bought these games once. Let me buy them again.
Can you, like, swap out skins and stuff on the PC version? Like, have they allowed mods to where you can actually, like, go in and, like, reskin, you know,
people don't know.
As Huntress?
Really don't. I haven't looked into it too much because I haven't quite been ready to replay the games. I love the games. I think they're great, but I kind of have to wait for some of the visuals to be not quite so burned into my brain so I can get all excited about seeing them again.
Well, okay. So I want Huntress. Okay. Yeah. I also want, okay, I have a thing. My one qualm with Arkham City was there was one piece of worthwhile DLC for that game.
Oh, yeah.
And its entire life cycle. And I mean, really? Like, that game is so ripe for added stories, added mm-hmm. side missions, and extra little missions within the universe, because it's open world. So, oh, well, let's, you know, focus on another villain or whatever. Let's do his own little campaign here. And it was just so, for a game that had so much potential in that area, to, like, I could still be playing that game now, kind of like Mass Effect 3, I would still keep going back to it and going back to it. And for the fact that only challenge maps ever got released, and even those, like, I love the characters that got released, but it was just kind of like, where was the extra, you know, the sandbox they built was just so great and vast and so well done. I wanted to do more in it.
You wanted to do more in it. Yeah, yeah. I can get that. I mean, I loved the game. And the thing about the Batman games that the reason I'm so enthusiastic is because I love the controls. I love that they're adaptive. I love that yeah. for me, who kind of prefers to just sort of smash all the buttons most of the time, you know, that it allowed me to really enjoy the game as much as the people who love, like, learning all the combos and being, like, precise and super awesome with, like, these bitchin' explosive moves. And I'm like, no, look, I punched a dude and I'm doing it.
And I'm doing it five times in a row.
The game adapted itself to both style of play. I mean, I love these things about it. I didn't get any of the DLC for Arkham City. And in fact, the thing that bugged me about Arkham City that I had to ignore for most of the game was just the fact that the premise was really stupid. Like, who builds an entire city for prisoners in the middle of fucking Gotham? Like,
the people who run Gotham.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just like,
because these are the people who haven't killed Joker yet.
Yeah, I know. And that was part of me just going, it's comics, Jen. It's just comics. It's okay.
He should have gotten the electric chair.
It's again, one of the things I have a harder time with superhero comics, because they come up with stuff that I'm like,
But man, did it lead to such a cool game.
What drugs do you have to be on? It gets explained a little more later, but it's not explained enough, because there had to be people who were like, oh, hell no, regardless. So,
it was such a, also, my last one here. I loved the detective mission types. So there was two really good, versions of this. There was the Deadshot mission, when, you actually have to, like, trace the bullets and find the clues and all that kind of thing to, like, keep finding the spot where he keeps shooting from.
Yep, that was cool. I found Deadshot. And yeah. The Archangel thing.
And the Archangel thing. And then, which was awesome because it was, like, you know, friggin' Azrael and shit. And then the Hush.
Fought.
That was one of my favorite missions. And it was one of the harder ones because it wasn't hard because of what you had to do. It was just, I couldn't, you had to really, like, be a detective and, like,
yeah,
trudge,
like,
through
the
city.
You're finding little things on the boards. And I don't know the Hush storyline, but the Batman games I played with my friends were hanging out watching me play, and my friends are, like, the encyclopedic comic guys. So on top of me enjoying the game just for even with just my minimum knowledge of what's going on, they would flip out every 5 minutes about Easter eggs and stuff. And one of them was, like, something written on a whiteboard that you had to go find during the Hush storyline. And they were like,
there was a couple times I shit myself. In that game, there were so many little references. One of the cool things is Azrael, you know, Archangel, the guy you find on the
Yeah.
roofs and stuff. If you throw a batarang at him, he'll catch it, and you get an achievement for it,
Oh, really?
which is kind of cool, and it's just kind of awesome. Because my first instinct, okay, every time I sneak up on somebody in that game, my first instinct, if I don't know what they're like, if I'm questioning it. And I'm like, yeah, and at first I saw him like from atop of a, he's on the Ferris wheel like in the first one. So I was standing like way away from him. And I'm like, okay, is that, who is that? What is that? I can't quite tell yet. And I'm like, okay, so my first instinct is not to go up and find out. My first instinct is to throw a batarang at it because I want
Oh,
to see if it moves.
nice.
I want to see if it moves.
I
So
went to
then.
look, and I there's like some weird symbol, and I'm like, okay, guys, what's this? And then their eyes got all big,
It's
and
awesome. It's so cool. Oh, I love that game.
so yeah,
But
I adored it too, and again, you know, I had a really good time with it. So hopefully, we will get an Arkham Asylum or an Arkham 3 game, a Batman, the third Batman game that will be a beautiful Batman game and not Duke Nukem Forever. Don't be Gearbox. Come on.
I was gonna say, let's hope not. Let's hope that it doesn't exactly, you know. Let's hope not. So with that though, let's go ahead and take a break, and then when we get back, we will go into some collardibles and some sounding off.
All right.
All right, and we're back. Hope you enjoyed the little musical break there. A little cha-cha, little slide. Side.
I was
So,
dancing the whole time.
were you? So you mentioned to me real quick before we hop into you know, our regular thing here that you actually were. And I saw this on Twitter too, because I saw that you have a new relationship, and it's with Bastion.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I've been doing, well, okay, let me put it to you another way. It is amazing what having roommates who pay rent on time does to expand your gaming budget. Especially right before Christmas, you know, I was too broke to buy anything new. All I was doing was playing Skyrim over and over again. And now suddenly, you know, I have a little bit of extra pocket money all the time, so I'm buying comics more and I'm buying more games. So this weekend actually was, let's go see what games I can play on my Mac. And I usually only use my Mac for illustration work. And I made the terrible mistake of installing games because I realized that I could play Borderlands 2 on my Mac, and then I'm like, oh, this is just going to go downhill fast. And downhill fast it went because Bastion is also available on the Mac, and it was on sale for $3.06.
Damn, can't beat
I
that.
know. So I hadn't picked it up originally because I started to play it and went, this is probably going to get kind of dungeon crawly kind of fast. And with those games and the repetition of them, I know I never really finish them. So, for example, Borderlands 2, which I swore up and down that I would finish, I was so determined, never happened, never did. I just sort of wandered off, watched my housemate finish the game, and went, well, at least now I know what happens, you know? Like, but for $3, I was like, I will pay $3 for a dungeon crawl, you know, even if it's as repetitive as, say, Torchlight, which I loved, but again, never finished because there was just a point where my brain just went, oh, I'm done doing the same thing over and over again. That said, you know, so I pick up Bastion for $3 and I'm cracking up because, you know, the narrator, who we had to go look up who the narrator was because for a second we weren't sure if it was, who was the guy, the big ugly guy, the guy who played Hellboy? What's his name?
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, we were like, is that Ron? It was pretty close to Ron Perlman, but it was some other guy whose name, of course, I now can't remember, like a huge jerk. But you know, I love that the fact that the narrator is reactive to your actual actions in the game and isn't just some mouth noises that are going on while you're trying to get shit done. The game is, of course, beautiful, and the main comment that everyone said when I said I'd picked it up was that the soundtrack is amazing, and they weren't wrong. You know, I'm sitting there listening to a lot of soundtrack going, I might be acquiring this soundtrack for personal listening use, you know, in the future. So yeah, it's I know it's kind of an older game and pretty much well established that it's a very lovable game, but it's really kind of fun for me in general to go on Steam and pick up cheap games because A, I have, you know, cash to blow. Like, you know, I spent $10 and bought 3 games this weekend, and it's nice to be able to go back and visit games that already, unlike, again, say, oh, I don't know, Aliens, have a reputation of being really decent to play. So,
which is $60.
What was that?
Shit. Which is $60 and shit.
Right.
So
which is $60 and shit.
This is $4
and
amazing.
I'll pay $3 for this game, and I'm definitely getting way more than my money's worth. So woohoo for me.
Well, that's awesome. Well, one thing you don't have to pay for is some pretty cool art here. And you can put that on your desktops or whatever, on your mobile phones. And it's pretty cool. It's made by Marco Menev. It might be Menev. I don't know. I'm going to butcher that. But there's no E on the end. And so it makes me think it's Menev. And I'm going with that.
I would go with Menev, too.
I'm rolling the dice here. And what's cool is he did a series of superhero noir posters. And they're just, I'm a fan of this type of art style. What's kind of funny is they remind me of another series of art that we spotlighted a while ago, which was the ones that were based on kids, and they were like, it was the superhero versions, but like if a real life, you know, kid was playing outside
right,
in his backyard.
Yeah, these reminded me of that too.
Yeah.
And I'm actually looking at the noir thing and remembering that I played another a noir game last week, again, with just some pocket change I handed, was throwing at sales. And that one was...
Was it Limbo?
Just Limbo, Limbo.
It's like immediately I was like, my brain was like, oh, hey, that's probably Limbo.
Yeah, it was Limbo. It was great. It was a pretty short game. I think I paid $5 for it. My housemate watched it. He's like, you paid $5 for this? And I'm like, look, Dillhole, just because you have no appreciation for art does not mean it was not worth $5. But I did have to cheat a couple times and go look up solutions to some of the puzzles because, you know, they were starting to get that, like, aggravating level of I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and it was just some of the gravity puzzles were a little beyond my thinking outside the box ability, but yeah, no, it was great. I mean, and it's the same. I'm getting that same feel from these posters. I mean, these are beautiful. Now Limbo, on the other hand, was fucked up and all kinds of creepy and beautiful, but these are more these more capture the aloneness that noir tends to go for, you know, when you have the single figure in a large field and you get that sort of solitary feeling. Of all of these, I want to know which one's your favorite, but my favorite is actually Superman. Now, Superman's
I know.
Not my favorite character, but the art here is beautiful because they actually include the, like when you see your rockets go into space and you can see the air, stream coming off of their top because their front end is going so fast that it actually shoves the air so fast it's visible.
And
they drew Superman that way too, like a rocket going into space, and I just thought that was really nifty.
And I love the that's actually, it's funny, that's my favorite.
Is it really?
As well.
Woohoo,
because
we agree.
followed by Captain America. Okay, because I love the Captain America one for the, you can see all the like old B-52 bombers in the air. And it's very World War II-esque, and you can see, like, the barbed wire fence in the towards the, like, bottom of it. And so it's very, very cool like that, and I just love him. But
you know, it's bizarre. I didn't actually catch the bombers. But you're right. It is basically looking like World War II-era stuff with Captain in the middle of it. That is really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool that way. I love all the other ones too. Even the Watchmen one's kind of neat too because of all the gears. But like Superman, it's in its simplicity, and I love the airstream. I also love the fact that because he's moving so fast, it's like he's breaking the atmosphere. So like there's this, he's going against the air so fast that you can actually see like the wind breaking. Mm-hmm. And it's just awesome. I just love it's simple, and there's a hell of a lot more going on in some of these other ones, you know, but it's just kind of like that one's just my favorite. It's awesome. So that will probably be my desktop at work.
Definitely. All right. So that was beautiful. Now you had a question about speaking of more comic stuff. You had a question about a card game called Legendary, a Marvel deck building game, right?
Very true.
And you sent me a Facebook link, and I made a wah-wah face because I don't – I'm too snobby for the Facebook. But
God, you are too snobby for the Facebook. Normally, I am too, though, so I can't even give you crap on that, but that's fun. Hello?
Hi, I'm sorry. I was getting an update on the article I'm about to post to you.
Oh, okay.
He's like, new breaking news. I have not played this game, but my boyfriend John has, and I asked him about it by writing it on a piece of trash cardboard that was on the table, and he wrote me back a paragraph on the back of this piece of trash cardboard with regards to this Marvel game. Now, I'm looking at the art here, and the art is, like, classic comic book gorgeous for some of the cards and stuff. I'm actually really enjoying that. You know, and of course, you know, that's the first thing I always look at with card games and stuff. It's why I used to play Magic a whole bunch, because I love the art on the cards. And the game, you know, it's a good game too, I guess. But it's been around for a minute, I guess. But John said that he had fun with it. And he said it can be a quick game. And the focus isn't on hosing your fellow player. But if you beat the mastermind villain, there is a, quote, winner. And it is possible to also get a stalemate. So I guess, you know, in terms of gameplay, all right, I'm gonna, he, unlike Anissa, who did subject herself to being on the podcast, when I asked if he wanted to come on and talk about it, he just shook his head and was like, no. So, you know, he took a cue. I guess he should probably thank Anissa for her lesson and we'll get Anissa a gold medal or something later, but I'm going to ask John, and then I'm going to relay his answer to you. John, did you actually enjoy it? Did you think it was a good game?
Yeah, I had fun with it.
Yeah, you had fun with it.
It was a good time.
All right, it was worth the time it took to play. All right, so there you have it, folks, from a my boyfriend John, which is totally a credible source. It was a good game.
I didn't honestly know that this existed till about a week ago, and so I was just kind of like, oh, okay, because I knew of the Marvel RPG and things, but I didn't know about the card, you know, the card game. So before we head out, I might have to try it. That might be a fun, like, I might grab it and just kind of have a night where we kind of film that, and sure. Maybe have some friends over. That might be fun to kind of do on a regular basis, because I've been looking for something like that to grab. I'm trying to build up my board games collection, which as of right now is none. So.
Yeah, mine is really sad. Mine is from when I was married many, many years ago. We had a board gaming reception, and so most of it is geared towards what would be generically appealing to everyone. I don't have any of like the cool little indie or any of the board games with a ton of bits, because when you're having a party, you don't do that.
A
random party in a hotel, you know, bits are really not a great idea. So
no, you play
I would love to have more board games myself. But the thing is that what I do instead is I have a lot of friends that live near me that collect board games fanatically. So whenever I think about I should buy more board games, I'm like, or I could just let Mark and Mary Beth buy board games and then go to their house and play it, because they live 6 blocks away.
True. That's always good to have. Yeah. I have a couple friends that way too. So it's kind of nice. It comes in handy a couple times a year. So, okay. Before we go, I have a couple things. Okay. I want to rattle off here.
All right, go for it.
And this goes to, I mentioned this at the beginning about the aliens thing. When those were coming out, all the reviews and things like that, is this? I saw a couple things and it bothered me. EGM reviewed this game. Now, EGM's review stands out as one of the few positive reviews. And honestly, I say few as in, I don't actually know if there were any other ones. So it could be the only, but I will say few. I'll give the benefit of the doubt to somebody else out there. So it was one of the few positive ones, and this reviewer really liked it. Okay, now it was kind of targeted as being made fun of, basically, and ripped on a bunch. Also in the fact that there were ads for aliens on the website at the same time as this review came out. So that looks bad. It looks really bad, right? But let's take that out of it, okay? If it was because he got paid to do it, then that's a whole other issue and whatever. But let's take it on face value and say that actually this dude just liked the game. And for some reason, didn't encounter hardly any of the glitches and shit that other people have. Okay,
that's because it was actually Lenny's neighbor kid, and Lenny was standing behind him showing him how to play.
It was Benny. It was Benny from next door. And
Benny and Lenny.
Benny loved it. And here's the thing. I have a real point. And I saw this review being just like targeted by other reviewers, other writers from other websites as like, oh my God, this is like crazy. This is bullshit. Like this dude's so whatever forever for whatever. I hate this. Okay. I hate when other people on Twitter call out other people's writing. It bothers me. And really, like, and I see it from a number of people that I follow. There's a couple people I follow who do it all the time. And there are people from, like, big-name websites that do it. And I have a real issue with this because no one is to that level of writing to me to justify that. No one,
Well, I
no
mean,
one, none
and
of.
it's sort of lazy retaliatory writing too, you know? I mean,
It's a.
there's going, this guy wrote this thing that I disagree with, so I'm gonna write my own article and not trash that guy. I'm just gonna discuss maybe some of the points he brought up and then, you
That's
know,
fine.
explain my viewpoint on it and provide, you know, a reasoned response. And instead, what people do is they vilify, demonize, and dissect another person's post because A, it gets a lot of hits and a lot of attention. You know, everybody loves drama. This is why reality TV exists. But it's just fucking lazy, you
It's
know?
lazy, and I mean, I'm sorry, these it's like the sad version of a 50 Cent and a Fat Joe beef. Okay, these people are just like pulling this out of their ass, and they're attacking someone for liking something that they didn't. Now, if it's because of the ads, again, that's a whole other discussion. But if it's not, and this dude just actually liked it, then fuck you and your opinion. No one like it, let him have his opinion.
Yeah,
I might
we have a
not
saying
agree.
amongst our friends, because that happens a lot with gamers too, is that, you know, you go, we're talking about video gamers. I was thinking tabletop game, but it's sort of a thing with gamers where you go, I like this thing, and someone else goes, I don't like this thing, and therefore you were stupid and dumb and should feel bad. Okay. And I have a friend who is very critical of games, but in a very intellectual way. He likes taking apart games and seeing what makes them work. And there's a lot of times where I'll go, oh, I really like this thing. And he goes, oh, it's not very good. And because I'm so used to the actual gamer attitude of, you know, if it's not very good and therefore I think you're a shithead, that it takes me a second to remember who I'm talking to and that he actually has reasons and structure behind his reasonings and he's up for discussing it. He's not just going, you're a stupid duty head who likes a stupid duty game, you know?
Exactly. That shit bothers me on Twitter. Like, that shit bothers me when people call out other people's like writing like that, and then, oh hey, look guys, look at this horrible shitty writing
Yeah,
this
so
person
one
did.
of the things that we do in general is we have a phrase called magma kraken, which is a reference to a spell in Exalted, but it basically just means, and it is basically, it's a ridiculous thing that makes no sense, and yet, you know, some people really enjoy it. You can basically summon a magma kraken and level half the earth or whatever, and you just go, you know, I like a thing, you don't, that's okay, magma kraken. You know, we don't have to fight about it. There's no fight to be had there. I like it, you don't. Done.
Exactly. Different strokes for
So,
different folks, and that's fine.
yeah. So basically, you know, I see that, and my response is like Magma Kraken. I liked it, or he liked it. I didn't. His writing is not something I want to read, but I'm not going to flip out about it. That's it. There's no more to that story. And people who are beef, like I said, that's why I call it lazy. People who are beefing up that kind of story to make it sound like it's some sort of scandal are basically doing it for attention.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's yeah, that shit just bothers me, and I saw that because a lot of the fallout from this, I saw that, and I was just it bothers me, so I just wanted to put that out there, and just don't do that, man. It's not needed, right? Okay, so also real quick before we go here, I need some good. I've been looking for a couple of Emma Frost cosplays to spotlight,
Okay.
and but my favorite couple, and I know at the moment they're not a couple at the moment, but my favorite couple in comics. Up until recently, it has been Cyclops and Emma Frost. So Scott Summers and Emma Frost, I love them. But I have yet to find any like really good cosplay of the couple format. And so I'm looking to do some kind of, you know, small feature, small article on like spotlighting like, you know, couples in cosplay, things like that, like of the greatest couples in comics and stuff. And I want a really good Cyclops and Emma. So if you know of one, if you've seen one before, if you can send me a link. You can either tweet it at me or send it to my email or Google Plus me or whatever. Just, you know, find some way to share it with me. But send
I
me
gotta
those.
say, good luck with that because you are the first person I have heard who actually liked that pairing.
I love it. They're my
Oh my
favorite
God.
couple in comics.
There's just I've heard so many things that were problematic with that pairing
Love it.
a blessing
It's.
on you for enjoying it. Magma Kraken right
Also,
there.
a Magma Kraken. I love it. And then, of course, to round this up, you can always catch JDot at Vanity Games on Twitter, and of course, VanityGames.com to catch her wonderful webcomic. Who won the Gelcatinous Cube, by the way?
It was a Mr. Jason Rambaz who I think lives near Washington, D.C. There was about 30 entries on all three platforms, and it was an interesting social experiment for me to see, you know, what kind of reach I have in what areas and so on and so forth. But yeah, I just randomized the results, and he was mailed off on Saturday to his home, and I'm hoping... this weekend I wanted to make more, but I, like I said, I went to that boxing class on Friday, and this weekend was mostly spent rolling around on the couch crying about how out of shape I am. So that might have to wait till next weekend to try again.
Rock on. And of course, you can always catch GeekTyrant.com. You can catch all our articles over there, as well as you can catch me at Night of Owl on Twitter. And if you guys, but yeah, make sure to send me those cosplay links if you find those. But
I'll even look for them. It may not be my favorite thing, but I'd be interested to see the cosplay anyway. I love cosplay, so.
Woot!
I'm here
I know,
for
me
you.
Too. So, thank you for joining me this week, J-Dot, and we'll have a wonderful week, everybody, every listener of the show. We love y'all. We thank y'all for supporting the show. And
love, kisses, peace out.
Until next week, that's a full lit.